Wir bei?
No.
Wir bandu? Ani baginino? Namo Buddhaya. Jai Bhim. So, let's start digging for Buddha Murti. Just beneath the surface of India are so many Buddha figures. So let's start digging for them again. What a beautiful dream that was. And a very good image for what we are doing. We're trying to discover the Buddha below the surface of India. So in these lectures, in these three lectures, I'm looking at Baba Saheb's social philosophy. And Baba Saheb says his social philosophy is summed up in three words. Svatantra, Samatha, and Bandhutva. Correct. But Baba Saheb says that he derives these three elements of his social philosophy from his master, the Buddha.
Baba Saheb says that सामाजिक तत्वज्ञानाची ही जी काही तीन मूल्य आहे ही मी जी घेतली आहे ती बुद्धाच्या तत्वज्ञानाची त्याच्या शिकवणीवरून घेतली आहे.
So over these three nights we're exploring the connection between Baba Saheb's thought and the Buddha's thought.
आणि म्हणून या तीन दिवसांच्या प्रवचन मालिकेमध्ये आपण बुद्धांची विचारसरणी आणि बाबासाहेबांची विचारसरणी यामधला जो संबंध आहे तो जाणून घेण्याचा प्रयत्न करत आहोत.
And we've been seeing each of them in terms of inner and outer. We're looking at outer liberty, equality, and fraternity. We're looking at that in terms of social liberty, equality, and fraternity. We're looking at it in terms of personal behavior, ethics. But what we do in the world comes from inside. Our attitudes shape the way we act. It's the mind that controls our actions. And Baba Saheb saw this very, very clearly, very, very deeply. You can only change things outwardly to a limited extent. If you want a big change, there needs to be an inner change. You can ban caste in the constitution. But it goes on in society. Because it's carried in the minds of citizens. Baba Saheb said in 1954 that India is a democracy. Politically, it's a democracy. socially, it's determined by caste. So he wanted to create a huge revolution in the mind of Indians. He said he wanted to drive out the old way of thinking. And he saw the Buddha Dhamma as the only way to bring about this big change. The need to be the inner attitudes of liberty, equality, and fraternity. There needs to be the psychological aspects of liberty, equality, and fraternity. And there need to be the dhammic aspects of liberty, equality, and fraternity. There needs to be insight into the way this life really is. If we really see the way life is, liberty, equality, and fraternity are natural to us. Baba Sahib saw this connection between outer liberty, equality, and fraternity and inner liberty, equality, and fraternity very, very clearly. And he said he derived them from his master, the Buddha. So we need to now look tonight at fraternity. We've looked at liberty, we looked at equality, now fraternity. So I quoted from a talk that Baba Sahib gave on All India Radio in 1954. And he went on to say that law is important. But law can only, to a very limited extent, prevent, or at least soften, breaches of liberty, equality, and fraternity. If there's violence, if there's oppression, the law can to some extent try to work against them. But the law cannot completely prevent. For instance, untouchability is banned in the Indian constitution. But while I was in Bodh Gaya just last week, I met people who'd experienced directly. That's still the experience of crores of people in India. The law can't guarantee liberty, equality, and fraternity. India has a wonderful constitution. A remarkable constitution. It's kept democracy, at least at the political level, since independence. So many other countries that became independent from Britain at first were democracies. But most of them became military dictatorships and so on. But India preserved its democratic constitution. And this is one of Babasaheb's great achievements. But despite that constitution, there's still so much oppression, so much violence, so much communal disharmony. Babasaheb says the only real safeguard against the denial of liberty, equality and fraternity, liberty and equality, is fraternity. You'll only really have liberty and equality when there is fraternity. So in this sense, fraternity is the most important of the three. Fraternity is the guarantee of liberty and equality. So, well, that's what Babasaheb thought. Well, fraternity is the basis for the Buddha's message. The whole of Buddhism comes out of Bandhutva. Yesterday I mentioned the Buddha sitting under that tree, the Ajapala tree. Do you remember 5 weeks after his enlightenment, he sat under a tree? And yesterday I mentioned his encounter with an arrogant Brahmin. And you remember that the Buddha completely rejected the oppressive, hierarchical social order. That was his very first encounter with another human being. The first person he met was this arrogant Brahmin. And he completely rejected the social order that he represented. He said, what's most important is worth, not birth. So the Buddha made his social philosophy clear right from the start. Well, you can imagine the Buddha's experience at this time. Well, we can't really imagine the Buddha's experience. But we can guess. His first encounter with another human being is with his arrogant, oppressive social system.
Buddha's first encounter with another human being is with his arrogant, oppressive social system. ही जे काही सामाजिक बुद्धत्वाची जी काही व्यवस्था आहे त्याच्याशी त्याचा संपर्क आला.
And yet he's discovered this wonderful peace.
आणि या प्रसंगी त्यांनी त्याच्या स्वतःमध्ये
The Buddha is completely free from all inner turbulence. He's completely calm, completely still. And he knows everybody can have that. Everybody to experience this freedom that he has experienced. That's his inner experience. Outside, what he experiences is this arrogant, closed-minded Brahmin. Actually, it could have been any caste when it comes down to it. But he encountered the refusal of people to understand this message of freedom. And this created a sense in him. He couldn't communicate. He wanted people to be free as he was free. That was completely natural to him. But he didn't see how they could understand. He's only just discovered this for himself, so he's having to work everything out. So he feels, well, I just have to stay in the jungle, just enjoy this freedom myself. There's no point in my trying to communicate. But we're told that at that point a sort of vision came to him, an inspiration came to him. He had a vision of the whole world is like a great lotus pond. And he saw the lotuses in that pond in different stages of growth. Some were deep in the mud. Some were pushing up through the water. Some stood clear of the water, but still as a bud. But some were beginning to open. And he realized that beings were in different stages of, openness. And he thought, well, there are some who I can reach, they can reach others. And he thought, well, yes, I can communicate. Some will understand. And from that point on, he committed himself to communicating his understanding. In the very origins of Buddhism, that feeling of compassion.
अगदी बौद्ध धर्माच्या अगदी मुळामध्ये जर आपण पाहिलं तर ही जी काही करुणेची भावना आहे ती तिथे तेव्हापासून आहे.
It's central to the whole system. We are here because of that compassion of the Buddhas. In the text it says that the Buddha says, it'll just be a trouble to me if I teach. If I try to teach, it'll just be a trouble to me. You know what it's like trying to explain something to people who don't want to hear. In the end, you just say, oh, forget it. What was the Marathi?
Vaitagli.
Vaitagli. Don't bother. Just trouble. White ugly. I remember that word. So that's what the Buddha felt. I'm just going to waste my time. You look how stupid we are. We are. The Buddha's told us how to be free. But we won't take our chains off. So yes, you can understand the Buddha felt, well, it's not really worth it. But he wanted people to be free. He felt such relief, such freedom himself. He wanted others to feel what he felt. He wanted others to see what he saw. So the rest of his life was dedicated to acting on that compassion. The Buddha acted on his sense of us as his brothers and sisters. You know that the story that the Buddha said he was like the elder brother of mankind. He said also that he was like the first chicken out of the egg. You have a whole lot of eggs. And all the chickens are inside the egg. And they're sitting inside the egg. And they're all saying, it's very nice in here. Very nice in here. Oops, ugly. And they're quite happy to be inside the egg. Even though it's very cramped and tight, you can't move your wings. But the Buddha has gone out. He sees the wonder of the sun. Sees the vastness of the sky. The beauty of the trees and the nature. So he goes round to each egg, he taps on the shell. He says, wake up. Get out. Break out. And slowly, slowly, we peck our way out of the shell. So the Buddha felt his solidarity with us. He couldn't just sit back and enjoy his own freedom. Once he understood how he could reach us, he devoted himself to that work. And yes, we are his sons and daughters. He said we are born of his mouth. Actually, we're his grandsons and daughters. Because Baba Sahib is our father. But he was born from the Buddha's mouth. So without this founding spirit of compassion, we would not be practicing the Buddha Dhamma. So what is fraternity? What is it in social terms, first of all? It's a sense of common humanity. That we are human beings in the same way. It's an attitude, Baba Sahib says, of respect and reverence of one for another. This is, of course, not what you get in caste society. There's very little fraternity in caste-based society. People's first identity is with their caste. I used to find, when I first came here, people use a phrase, they'd use Hamare Samaj. Nee, Hamare Samaj. Society in English, when you say society in England, you mean everybody in the country. That's what I thought people were referring to. But then I realized what people meant was apli lo. Apli lo, kon hai?
Apli lo, kona hai?
Kona hai, sorry. Marathi, Hindi. Our people, I thought again, our people, well, that's everybody. But apli lo means our caste. And aplilog nahi means they're at the rest. You know, people say to me, he's one of aplilog. So, you know, I have a slogan. Sarvalog aplilog ahe. Same in Tibor and Janos's country. Gypsies are generally not accepted as part of the same society. Somebody told me there's one political party which wants to send Janos back to India.
कुठेतरी मला असं सांगितलं की एक राजकीय पार्टी होती, त्यांनी असा विचार केला होता की ज्ञानोबाला भारतामध्ये पाठवून द्यावं.
आय थिंक ह्या वर्षी क्वाइट हॅपली कम टू
ज्ञानोबाला भारतामध्ये यायला खूप आनंद झाला.
लॉट्स ऑफ मिर्ची,
त्याला खूप मिरची खायला मिळाली असती.
But yes, you know, you're in your own country and people don't accept you as a member of that country. And the consequence is that many gypsies don't consider themselves Hungarians. Of course, we get the same sort of thing in Britain too. We get racial
prejudice.
This is Dhammachari Padmadhara. Is he an Englishman? But there are those who would not think he was English,
huh?
But yes, in most societies there's some form of prejudice. There's not fraternity. If there's fraternity, you see everybody else as just a fellow citizen.
जर आपल्यामध्ये बंधुत्व असेल तर मग आपण समाजामधल्या प्रत्येक व्यक्तीला आपला जणू काही आपल्यासारखाच तो एक व्यक्ती आहे असं समजत असतो.
दिस इज द वर्क ऑफ यानोश एंड टीबोर.
आणि हे जे कार्य आहे यानोश एंड टीबोर यांचं सुद्धा आहे.
दे वॉन्ट टू इंटिग्रेट जिप्सीज इन टू सोसायटी.
खरं म्हणजे त्यांना जिप्सी लोकांना समाजामध्ये सामावून घ्यायचं आहे.
पर्सनली आय थिंक दे शुड इंटिग्रेट अदर पीपल इन टू जिप्सीज.
मला असं वाटतं की त्यांनी काय करावं, इतर जे लोक आहेत त्यांना जिप्सी समाजामध्ये सामावून घ्यायला सुरुवात करावी.
जिप्सी इज मच मोर लाइव्हली अँड फ्रेंडली.
जिप्सी जे लोक आहेत ते अतिशय मैत्रीपूर्ण आहेत आणि अतिशय दिलदार आहेत.
बट यस, वी वॉन्ट टू ट्राय टू क्रिएट अ सेन्स ऑफ फ्रटर्निटी इन हंगरी.
खरंच आपल्याला हंगेरीमध्ये सुद्धा बंधुत्वाचं जे भावना आहे तिला विकसित केलं पाहिजे.
Create a sense within society as a whole of cooperation, of common citizenship. In India, the only time when you really get fraternity is when India is playing Pakistan at cricket. And then all caste is left behind. Especially when India wins. Of course, which it usually does. So yes, Baba Saheb wanted all Indians to see themselves as fellow citizens.
बाबा साहेबांना असं वाटत होतं की संपूर्ण भारतीयांनी इतरांना आपले जे बंधू आहेत अशा प्रकारे पाहावं.
He said this is the real meaning of democracy.
बाबा साहेब म्हणायचे की खऱ्या अर्थाने लोकशाहीची ही खरी व्याख्या आहे किंवा अर्थ आहे.
Democracy isn't just a way of electing a government.
लोकशाही याचा अर्थ केवळ एखाद्या
democracy is an attitude. It's an attitude of one citizen towards another. It's an attitude of fraternity. It's respecting each other. It's having a sense of working together. It's having a sense of common purpose. So that is what Babasaheb wanted for society. He said there needs to be that sense of common citizenship. Then that constitution can really guarantee liberty and equality. Without fraternity, liberty and equality are just pawns in the game. So you get the legal system appropriated by caste. You get caste vote banks. People vote on the basis of caste. So fraternity disappears. When fraternity disappears, liberty and equality easily disappear. This is what Babasaheb wanted for the whole world. This is what he understood by democracy. This is what the Buddha wanted. The Buddha founded a Sangha. That Sangha was supposed to be an ideal society. I don't just mean the Bhikkhu Sangha. I don't even mean the Bhikshu Sangha plus the Bhikshuni Sangha. I mean the whole community of those who are committed to the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. The Buddha saw the Sangha as an example for the whole society. So the Sangha is the ideal which the whole of society needs to be brought up to. So in this area, in the social field, there's still so much to be done. We really still have to establish fraternity much more deeply. So we have to come back to the ethical level. We can do our work in society. But in the end, what counts is what we as individuals do. It's how we act that creates fraternity. And here the Buddha established the precepts as the way of acting fraternity. If you want fraternity, don't harm others. When you harm somebody else, you break your solidarity with them. When you steal from somebody, you break their your solidarity with them. When you commit sexual misconduct, you break solidarity. When you lie, you break solidarity. On the other hand, if you act in accordance with the positive precepts, you create fraternity. If you act with Maitri, you create fraternity. If you act generously, you create fraternity. If you're contented, you create fraternity. If you're truthful, you create fraternity. If you're mindful, you create fraternity. If you're my brother or my sister, how can I harm you? If I really feel my solidarity with you, how can I harm you? So the precepts are training in fraternity. They're the basis in our own behavior of a change in society. But of course, the matter goes deeper. Our actions come out of our mental states. This is a basic insight of the Buddha. This is an insight that Baba Sahib quotes in the Buddha and his Dhamma. Skillful thoughts, skillful actions are led by the mind. Unskillful actions are led by the mind. So Baba Sahib says the first thing to attend to is the culture of the mind. So we need to develop the inner feeling of fraternity. This feeling of maitri. This sense that you care for the well-being of others. If I feel maitri for you, I can't harm you. If you see that you're a fellow if I see that you're a fellow human being, I can't harm you. It's as if life is directly connected with life. I remember a story that one Dhamma Mitra in England told me. He was a member for a while of the IRA. He was from Ireland, and Ireland was still fighting to get the British out of Northern Ireland. Rather, some Irish were fighting. Yeah.
IRA.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
They, I suppose, were Naxalites. So this person who later became a Dhamma Mitra, he joined the Irish Naxalites. He wanted freedom for his country. Sorry, if people walk around, it's difficult to concentrate. So he joined the IRA. And, one day he went on a raid. He was new, so he was left to guard the retreat. So he's just waiting there with his rifle. But the British soldiers had warning. they were waiting for him. And he found himself with a British soldier pointing a rifle at him. So his rifle was pointed at the British soldier. The soldier's rifle was pointing at him. And they were both young men, about the same age. And he told me he felt absolutely terrified. He thought, this is the end of my life. And he looked into the eyes of the soldier who was just a few yards away. And he could see the same fear in the eyes of the soldier. He could see that the soldier was feeling just as he was. And he said, through his mind came the thought, I cannot shoot another human being. Well, of course, the soldier was better trained than he was. And the soldier fired. So this Dhamma Mitra then took his shirt off and showed me the bullet wound in his shoulder. But I found that a very, very powerful story. That was fraternity. That Dhamma Mitra, his name was Desmond Fitzgerald. He's dead now, but his name was Desmond Fitzgerald. But he said from that moment on, he knew that violence was no good. But it was that experience of natural solidarity . If we really see the life in others and even in animals and so forth, we can't harm. Where I live in England, in Wales, there are many, many sheep. Many more sheep than human beings. So I live in the middle of sheep. They live right outside my window and they come and look at me sometimes. I cannot imagine eating one of those poor sheep. See that even those sheep, well, they feel pain like I feel pain. That is fraternity. It's that natural sense of solidarity with other life. If we open ourselves to it, all life speaks to us. If we hear the voice of that life, we cannot harm it. So, well, we do the Maitri Vikas practice. We're trying to develop that natural sensitivity. It's natural to us. It's something we have to open our hearts to. That's what our practice of Maitri Vikas is all about. And This is the practice of fraternity. When we do the Maitri Vikas, we're practicing fraternity. We're contributing to the Dhamma Kranti. Because we're changing our own attitudes. We're helping to create genuine democracy. To be a good citizen, you need to do two things. Vote at elections and do Maitri Vikas. That's your contribution to creating a democracy. So yes, Maitri is something that's in a sense natural to us. If we open our hearts, if we open our eyes, we'll see the common life around us. We'll feel that this life there is the same as this life here. This being feels pain, feels joy, just as I feel pain and joy. But the matter goes deeper still. The Buddha says that Maitri is not enough. Because there's still me and you. Sooner or later, something will happen to me that will make me react to you. So I need to recognize that this I is not ultimately real. The Buddha said there is no Atma. There's no fixed self. What we are is a flow of conditions. And those conditions flow and interflow with all the conditions around us. We're not nearly as separate as we think we are. Our lives are completely interinvolved with the lives of others. When we give up that clinging to self, something new comes into existence. Maitri becomes Mahamaitri. It becomes something completely unshakable. Whatever you do to the Buddha, that solidarity is not broken. There's no attachment to self. So with that breakthrough into the Dhamma, will you just work for the welfare of all? Think of Baba Sahib. Think the way he lived his life. He didn't bother about himself. He didn't get a lot of money. He didn't have a big house. He lived in a very simple way. Well, there are so many stories, aren't there? But I always remember that what a journalist once said about him. I think I might have said this last time I was here. But one foreign journalist went to visit all the leaders of India. And that journalist had to leave early in the morning, so he's seeing people quite late at night. He was leaving early in the morning, so he saw people quite late at night. And he went to see Baba Saheb in the middle of the night. And he found Baba Saheb's light was on. He found Baba Saheb was willing to meet him. And the first thing the journalist said was, "This is very strange." "I've been to see Pandit Nehru. He was asleep." "I've been to see Sardar Patel. He was asleep." "But you, Dr. Ambedkar, you're not asleep." So Baba Saheb said, "Well, my people are sleeping. How can I sleep?" But that was his spirit. And this is something more than ordinary. We see the same, perhaps even more, with the Buddha. Right at the end of his life, the Buddha said, "My body is like an old bullock cart." You know, it's the bits of wood have been changed so often. But it's just held together with bits of string. But he still walked the roads of India, helping people to become free. So, brothers and sisters, we are the sons and daughters of these remarkable men. We're the sons and daughters of Dr. Baba Saheb Ambedkar. Me too. And Baba Saheb was the son of the Buddha. We are the beneficiaries of their work. Most of you are sitting here because of that work. I am with you here because of that work. Well, what is the duty of a son or a daughter? It's to continue to carry out the work of your parents. We need to pass on what we have been given. We need to work tirelessly for liberty, equality, and fraternity here in India. In Hungary. And in Slovakia too. Romania. Other places nearby where there are many, many gypsies who live very difficult lives. They need the message of Baba Saheb. They need the message of the Buddha. They need liberty, equality, and fraternity. We need it in England too. We need more liberty, equality and fraternity there. And in many other countries worldwide, the whole world. So I hope that you've got from my words some clearer idea of the work you need to do. We need to work tirelessly to create liberty, equality and fraternity in society. We need to create liberty, equality and fraternity for our, through our own ethical behaviour. We need genuine equality in the home. Not men talking about liberty, equality and fraternity on the platform and then beating their wives. It's true. We need genuine liberty, equality and fraternity in our own personal lives. We need to work at creating that. We need to develop the inner attitudes of liberty, equality and fraternity. We do that especially through our meditation practice and through our practice of the Dhamma. And we need to establish liberty, equality and fraternity unshakably in our minds. We do that through prajna. We do that by an insight into the real nature of this life. So this is the task that is in our hands. It's our duty to carry out the work of our master, our Sahib. And of his master and our master, the Buddha. Namo Buddhaya.
Namo Buddhaya.
Jai Veer.